Today we want to talk about from Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. We want to talk about a special place to go. A special place to go. Reverend Kevin, I have the picture of the Garden of Gethsemane that you can pass down in that aisle and get one to this aisle, and I'll start this one up with the ministers and they'll pass it down. Just, I want you to look at this special place. We saw this when we went to Israel. Amen. Beautiful, solitary place. A special place to go. I submit to you today that when you become a Christian, you do need a Bible. Amen. 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 You need some church clothes and some church shoes. I submit to you today that when you become a Christian, you need a church home. Amen. Some of you might even need a cross around your neck. But I submit to you today, one of the most important things you need as a Christian is a special place to go. You need that special place to go. And especially because not because it's in a special location. Especially because of what it means to you when you get there. In other words, the history of you visiting this place makes it special. Life happens. I'm not going to lie to you. When you become a Christian, some stuff does jump off. And it's different than the stuff that jumped off when you were in the world, because now you're in a spiritual warfare. So stuff does jump off. But it doesn't mean you need to be afraid and run away from the church and run away from God and stop reading your Bible. Stuff will jump off. But God has a plan for the stuff that jumps off. But you need a special place to go. Life brings about many joys and challenges. Life has its ups. Life has its downs. Life has its lighter moments. And life has its more serious and critical moments. But today we want to focus on the serious, critical moments. I call these the critical crossroads of life. The times in your life when you need to make a decision, you know the decision you need to make, and you're really not sure if you have enough in you to say yes and move forward. Okay. You know what decision you need to make. But you don't know if you have the strength and enough in you to say yes to God and move forward. You're at a point of paralysis and fear. You are frozen in your psyche. You all messed up. We know what we need to do, but it seems like I just can't get myself to do it. You need a special place to go. Because the truth of the matter is that everything we need for the Christian journey is in us. But sometimes we need some help getting that thing called up. Sometimes we need some help bringing that thing forward. And sometimes we get so used to, we call ourselves pulling on ourselves that we got it going on. We really don't. We really don't. God's working through us and working in us. But every now and then, you come to that critical crossroad in your life. And you know what you need to do, but you just can't find the strength. I mean, you love God. You're in the church. You know the word, but something. On the Christian journey, by faith, you know that God is with you. But even though God is with you, and you feel the presence of God in your life, and you know you're not alone. But still, at the critical crossroad in your life, something's just not working right. You want to do what's right, but you just can't. As a matter of fact, you come too far to go back. Where God is trying to take you to is closer than where you came from. In other words, you covered enough distance to be able to continue on. Because it's more miles going back. And think about this. The miles you go back are the miles you already covered. So you're doing double miles. You're doing double miles for nothing. That's where that songwriter said, I won't go back. Another songwriter said, I'm moving forward. Like Kofas said in the prayer, you got to renew your mind. We got to think different. Think spiritual things. Trying to move forward. Critical crossroad in our lives. The criticality of the decision is seemingly producing a paralytic type of fear in your mind, body, soul, and spirit. But you need to make a decision. You can't just stay there. You can't stay there. Your parking meter has expired. You can't stay there. You ain't got no more quarters. And the meter won't take your credit card. Oh, you got to move. Here come the parking people. You got... You need to make a decision, and this decision is so critical to the remainder of your life, so critical to where God is trying to take you. You need to get away because you need to get to that special place where God always shows up to meet you, that place where you hear God and God hears you. And sometimes you don't say a word and God still hears you and you hear God. You know why? Because sometimes the quietness of our meditation speaks louder than the audibility of our prayers. Sometimes the quiet time speaks more volume than us running our mouths. He comes in a still, small voice. A special place to go. We have our different places where we go for certain things. Some people won't buy clothes unless they come from a certain place. Some folk won't buy food unless they come. We got places we go for special stuff. So this is special. This is a place where silence speaks louder than words. I submit to you today that every Christian needs a place to go for the critical crossroads in their lives. And you know what? It doesn't have to be always a physical place. Even though Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, it doesn't have to be a physical place. It could be a place. Some people could be in a crowd and go. You know, you be with somebody, they come back. You talking to them, they done zoned out on you. Right in the midst of a crowd, they done zoned. They're not asleep. They just zoned out. They just went somewhere. And you be like, calling. But sometimes you got to get in that zone because something is pressing in on you. And that which is happening right now is not as important as that which you need to make a decision about. See, sometimes you got to let the right now go on hold. So you can deal with what God is trying to get you to see and get you to know and to get you to do. Sometimes you got to stop being so busy for God. And let God get busy in you. You ever see some folks? They always run around. And God, your God said, let me get busy in you. You're so busy for God. Let me get busy in you. There's a difference. You need that special place to go. But Jesus, just like some of us, had many critical crossroads in his life. And sometimes we gloss over that, we read over that because we forget to understand that he is 100% God and 100% man. And when he's dealing with going to Calvary's cross, that is 100% humanity dealing with that stuff. Those nails were real. People lying and spitting on that stuff was real. That hurt him like it would hurt me and it would hurt you. Because Philippians says he decided to lay down his deity so he could become like you and me. He who was rich for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Oh, I wish I did.
Oh, you don't really know who Jesus is in your life. If we knew who he really is, was or what he wanted to do, we wouldn't act the way we act. We wouldn't push him off the way we push him off. We wouldn't just slide stuff to the side. We'd say, hey, Jesus. Because we would understand that from him and through him flows everything for our life. Seek ye first. And not just on Sunday. I told you to tell a joke that Jesus would not come back on Sunday because he don't want to be fooled. Even though he know everything. We do a good job on Sunday. On Sunday, everybody know. Folks in Africa know you're a Christian on Sunday in America. You will find several scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus went to different places to pray all by himself. In Matthew 14, 22 to 23. And, you know, in research, it didn't really specify that every time he went away, he always went to the Garden of Gethsemane, which led me to know that Garden of Gethsemane was that special place. Matthew 14, 22 to 23. Mark 1, 35. He moved away to pray. Seemed like he was going away to pray so he could, you know, get renewed and keep his focus. Anybody here like that? You ever lose your focus? You don't have to raise your hand. I know you all that. You ever lose your focus sometime and get all twisted up and life is just pressing in on you? You got to work. You got to do this. The kids acting crazy. The spouse acting crazy. All these bills in the mail. You just lose your focus. Sometimes you'll throw up your hands and talk about, what is it all worth? That's when you need that special place. You're at a critical crossroad in your life. Anytime you look at everything that's before you and around you, decide to give up. So before you talk about committing suicide or homicide. Oh, y'all thought I forgot about that one, didn't you? You're at a critical crossroad in your life. You need to go to that special place. Because sometimes some folks, they look at the mirror and say, I ain't killing me. Mm-mm. All that's around me, got to go. Some people love themselves too much. They I ain't hurting me. They thought about it, but they was in the mirror. Oh, no, not this. But the several scriptures in Luke 6, 12 and 13, Luke 5, 15 to 16, Matthew 19, 13, and Luke 11, 1 through 4, we see Jesus stealing away to pray. As a matter of fact, in Luke 11, 1 through 4, he went to a certain place to pray. When he had finished, his disciples saw what happened to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. That's where what we call it, the Lord's Prayer, you know, it's really the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is really in John 17, just for the record. But he said, when he came out of his prayer, he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We hanging out with you, man. We want what you got. I wish there were some Christians in the church today where somebody say, can I hang out with you? You know what? You know why they want to hang out with us? We too busy complaining like this. We got the Father and we complaining. We got the earth and the Lord and the fullness of the earth, a cat on the thigh. We say all that stuff in here and get outside and act like we don't even know. That's why they ask you why you go to church. Because we talk like they talk. If we're going to talk like they talk and do what they do, they want to know why you go. What's the difference? I might want to stay out here. I can't pay my mortgage either. I might as well stay out here. Man, you got to tell them the story. You got to give them the witness of what God is able to do. Jesus would go away by himself to pray to the Father to seemingly regain his strength and focus. And even though Jesus would get away and pray, he still seemed to have a special place that he would go. When he came to the critical crossroads in his life. And it appears this place was the Garden of Gethsemane. As a matter of fact, Luke 22:39 says that he, in fact, him and disciples went there often. You know, so it was a place that they knew about. Luke 22:39, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And in a different translation, it said what he did was, he left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. The Garden of Gethsemane, east of Jerusalem, was at the foot of the Mount of Olives. That's where he went. But the disciples knew about this special place. But that's why I said it's special because of what happened when you go there. Oh, my God. See, you thought the special place had to be a place that nobody else would know about. church inspection to some folk because of what happened to them while they're here.
Oh, my God. To some folk, go in and out of church don't mean nothing to them. But some folk, church, the worship service, the experience is special. And you get mad when they tell you to be quiet. They won't miss nothing. They won't miss nothing about jokes. Stuff is good. Stuff is good, baby. Yeah. But really, for some folks, the worship experience, they need this because they're not able to get back here during the week. They want to get everything. They want to garner everything they can. It's like, this is the meal for the week, and I got to get me some stuff to last me all the way through, not to Saturday, but Sunday morning when I get up so I can get back to the house. Oh, we serve stuff on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but they might not be able to get back. They're going to get all they can. When this thing becomes special, people worship different. They change their seat because it ain't special for you. You want to talk about last week and what this one got on. And girl, let me tell you what, boy, man, no, man, you don't know nothing. I got. I won't hear that. If I want to hear that, I'll talk to you outside. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord. I pass out all these churches coming here, and you want to tell me about your new this and your new that? Well, I got the news for you. I come to hear the word of the Lord. Call. Wasting my time. You should have seen what I got up this morning. You ain't know how I look. I got this thing fixed straight, and you want hot. I present myself as a living sacrifice. You know what I had to go through to get here today? And you think I come in here to sit next to you to talk to you? Excuse me. I ain't buying no ticket to see you. I came to hear what thus saith the Lord. I come to give him the worship service. I come to praise my God.
Jesus had that special place. The garden of Gethsemane seemed like his special place to go when he's at the critical moment. And in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 36, we want to look at these three points. Number one, giving up. I know nobody here ever felt like giving up.
We all champions of the faith.
Yeah. Giving up. Number one, giving up. Number two, gaining strength. Number one, giving up. Number two, gaining strength. And number three, going forth. Number one, giving up. Number two, gaining strength. And number three, going forth. Giving up, giving up. I need to let somebody know that every time you come to a critical crossroad in your life, it doesn't mean you have to give up. It doesn't mean you have to throw in the towel. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean you need to throw up your hands and just be in despair. What it means is maybe you need to get up from where you are and go to that special place where God speaks to you and you can hear God and God can hear you. It may mean you need to just get up and move to that area where you and God can talk, where you and God commune, where you and God fellowship. Look at Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He didn't take everybody in there with him because he left some folk here. I think it took Peter and John with him. But you got to be careful because there was a place where he had to go to. Because everybody else wasn't going to the cross. Pastor, what you trying to say? Everybody doesn't have your same assignment. Everybody's not going through what you're going through. We all going through something. But everybody's not going through what you're going through. Therefore, they are not able to articulate from their lips or their heart what you need to say to your God. It's all right for intercessory prayer. But can't nobody tell your story? Can't nobody tell your problem like you? As a matter of fact, when I can't even articulate it, the Holy Ghost will kick in and represent. Look at verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He's about ready to give up, y'all. That's right. Jesus is about ready to give up. You know why? Because this is in his humanity. This is in his flesh. God's trying to teach us something here.
in our flesh, in our humanity. There's going to be some times, some critical crossroads in our life. We're going to feel like giving up, but don't give up. Go to the special place.
See, Saul's on very heavy, about ready to get his thing up. Look at verse 38. Then he said unto them, can you imagine Jesus? Look, boys, I know I called y'all to be my disciples, but guess what? I messed up. This thing got me, man. I know what I came to do. I'm going to do the will of my Father. But as I get closer to Golgotha, as I get closer to the place where I need to go so I can get to my Easter Sunday, stuff starts jumping off in my life, and I'm sorrowful. I'm messed up. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 22 says that sweat like drops of blood came out of his pores. That's how much agony he was in, that some angels came and ministered unto him in Luke chapter 22. But see, it takes more of a Christian, more of a man to say, hey, I ain't handling this. Don't be a phony, my brothers and sisters. I know somebody who can handle everything. If you can't handle it, say, hey, God, whoa. I know you know how much I can bear. Can you send me an email on it? Send me a text, God. I need you to remind me of what you said you put in me. Because right now, I'm not feeling it. You need that special place. You won't get to that point. Be serious about God. You'll get to that point in your life. And the alternative is not to give up. The alternative is not to give in. The alternative is not to kill yourself. That's not the alternative. What we need to do is finish the race. I press. Gethsemane meant an oil press. Now, how do you get wine out of grapes? You wash your feet and you. How did he get the oil out of the olives? God's trying to get the best out of you. Got to go. You thought the you could eat an olive, but to get that oil, you got to. Sometimes God got to press you in order to get. To get from where you are to where you need to be, to the next step in the will of God for your life, he got to press you. And nobody wants to be pressed because it don't feel good. But he ain't trying to make you feel good. He's trying to do an extraction. What's extracted from the pressing is the blessing. Because you know why? Because guess what? When the olive oil came out, it still came out the olive. Oh, my God. When you come through that thing, you still you. You just got a different thing going on. Oh, oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Oh. Look at verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible. This is my Savior. Saying, Daddy. Is there another way? Is there a plan B? Can I be ready to take it? Come on. We're talking about Jesus in his humanity. He's deity, but in his humanity. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he's about ready to give up. But look what happens in the next few verses. In verse 39, he said, let this cup, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then he prayed a second time. We're going to get to that. Then he started gaining strength. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 40. I'm going to tell you where you got your strength from. Look what happened in verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and find them what? Where are you going to get your strength from? Your disciples? From your little clique? From your little gang? Nah, God trying to teach Jesus. I'm trying to teach them something. No matter who you bring with you, you're not going to get your strength from them. They may not be able to stay awake long enough to intercede in prayer for you. They with you, but they not with you. They want to be with you. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Stop looking at folk, getting disappointed in folk, because folk can do what you want to do. Go for yourself. Go in your special place. but they always been here. Well, hey, guess what? They're not here today. They're here, but they sleep. Oh, Jesus. You sleep like I sleep, you might not be there. Oh, I wish I. Ooh, nobody want to admit they sleep hard. But you've already gained some strength. It's through communication and fellowship in this special place with his Father that Jesus begins to garner up the strength he needs at this critical crossroad in his life to make a decision as to continue in the Father's will. Whoever told you that when you accepted Jesus Christ that nothing negative would happen? The Bible doesn't even teach that. I mean, we used to say that, you know, the old time, you said, come on. And I found out what they meant. They said, come on to church. Everything will be all right. They ain't tell me it was futuristic. They ain't tell me that everything will be all right when he comes back. They just wanted to get you in there. I'm faulting for that. I understand. But then they need to let you know how to get through this thing. Look at verse 41. At verse 40, he come on the disciples' final seat and said unto Peter. He said to Peter, not to all of them. He said unto Peter. Peter, the one like, I ain't going to deny you, man. I'm with you, boy. I'm with you, man. You ever have a friend like that? I'm with you. You ever have a friend like that? I'm with you. And you look back, they wave back with you. You're talking big stuff. You're getting a big fight. You have to clean your glass to see how far it is. No. He said, Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? I don't fault Peter and the sons of Zebedee, and I don't fault them for that, but because sometimes folks don't feel them. Don't get mad with them. They with you, but they don't have to go on the cross. You're going on the cross for them. That told me that there's some things that God has put in your life for you to do that ain't got nothing to do with the other folk that you bring with you. Not yet. Not till you get up there on the cross. There's ministry in you for the folk that can't even hang with you. That's why you can't be mad at them. Because you got a minute. It's for them. Oh, you're gaining strength to get up on the cross to die for folks that did stuff you ain't never done. Look at verse 41. He gained some strength. He tells them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's encouraging them. He said, look, the spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. He said, y'all don't understand. I'm going through my flesh. I'm going through a weak time in my flesh right now. I'm trying to get this thing together. My spirit is willing. Yeah. But my spirit not going to feel the nails. Oh, come on. My spirit's not going to feel the piercing because they can't get to my spirit. My flesh is going to feel this thing. He said, I want y'all to be sure that you take this time to pray because you're going to have a critical crossroad in your life because in a few moments they're going to come get me and they're going to understand, they're going to ask you whether or not you're with me. You're going to have a critical crossroad in your life and you're going to have to denounce me or go with me. Everybody go with you when it's cool. Folk will go with you to dinner long they got to pay. Oh, I'm sorry. That was where that comes from. All right. Look at verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So he gained his strength because the first time he said, let this cup pass from me, if it be possible. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. But he comes back and say, I still ain't got this thing right. He went back and prayed the second time and said, if this cup may not pass, except I drink it, thy will be done. That's a little bit different. I'm gaining some strength now. Daddy, if there's no other way, and the only way this cup's going to pass, if I drink it, thy will be done. He's getting some strength now. He's gaining some strength. Jesus gained strength for he says in verse 42, oh, my Father's cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus is in his special place in the Garden of Gethsemane and took time out to go check on the disciples who have been praying with them. It's a hard pill to swallow when you take your homies with you and find out you're still alone. But when you understand ministry, you understand that everybody can't go with you every step of the way.
As a matter of fact, he didn't take everybody in with them. And then he went a little further where he tried. Sometimes you need to be all by yourself. Sometimes you need to go alone. You don't need everybody, right? Man, they don't talk about you thinking you're deep, sanctified. Let them talk. Because if you don't get to the cross, they're going to be lost. Oh, my God. He gained his strength now. Jesus in a special place of God's Gethsemane, and he remains there long enough to get what he needs to move forward. You got to stay there long enough. That means you got to stay there till you get through the whole box of Kleenex, till your eyes can't cry. Learn how to stay in prayer long enough to get what you need so you can go forth. A lot of us don't go forth because we didn't stay there long enough. We're about ready to give up. We gained a little strength, then we ran. You don't need little strength for ministry. You need much strength for ministry. The strength to go forward. So it seems like he wants to give up, to take it, to talk with his father. But he seems to gain strength after he talks with him. And then Luke 22:44 says, in reference to Jesus praying in the garden, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I need somebody to know this ain't no play. Say, we talk about Jesus on the cross, we just talk about it like real casually. No, this man went through something for real, for real. This pain was for real. He redeemed us, and everything he went through, the pain, the agony, the crucifixion, the all that stuff is real. But then look at Matthew 26:44. He seemed like he ready to go forward. It said, Jesus prayed a third time, saying the same words. But this time, Jesus has strength to go forth. He's going to move forward. Look at verse 45. Then come and his disciples said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. First he said, wait a minute. You couldn't sleep with me 1 hour? But see, after he gained the strength to move forward, he said, he went back to him and said, I ain't mad no more. I had a little talk with my father. And I got what I needed from him to go forward. He said, sleep on now. I'm going to take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going forward. Come on, somebody. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. What I like about this is when you read the next verse, when he had enough strength to go forward, he was still in trouble. Because look what it says. Look what it says. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas. And see, we think going forward means we got out of it. No, whatever God's will is for your life, if you want to complete it, you've got to gain the strength to go through it. And as soon as you got finished talking, here comes Judas. Come on, fellas, get up. I got to go. I'm moving forward. I ain't turning back. I'm moving forward. I got what I needed in my special place. I got what I needed from my dad. One of the 12 came, and with them, verse 47, a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. That means, I was like, Jesus going to do something. Because Judas didn't know the power of the man he was turning over. That's where you get a thing Judas kissed from. You should never get a Judas kiss in church. There ought to be no Judas kisses in church. If somebody kiss you, it ought to be real. Ought not be fake. Ought not be a Judas kiss. If it's a Judas kiss, you better get ready because they come to get you. Y'all get that one later this evening after you eat your sandwich. You'll be all right. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign saying, whosoever shall kiss. Look at verse 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, what? What did he call him? Those that may have been with you may not be with you all the way through the journey. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, friend, I understand what you're going through. I understand you couldn't hang with me. I understand you couldn't wait for me to do what God would have me do because it wasn't on your time schedule. It was on, and you wanted to cash in early. You need to cash in early. You wanted 30 pieces of silver. You wanted... You better cash in early before this thing was over. You ought to get your little 30 pieces because you've been covenanting with the wrong folk. Then they came and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. That's why you need a special place to go, because sometimes you're going to feel like giving up. But then you're going to have to stay there long enough and talk with your daddy and gain the strength you need so you can go forward. Whether that place be a physical place or like the Garden of Gethsemane, or a place that you imagine in your spiritual mind. That special place that you and God fellowship and commune is a place that you need to go at the critical crossroads in life. There's some decisions you don't need to go there for. Father, why am I eating the dinner? He says, look in the freezer. You ain't got to be deep about that. Father, what would I wear tomorrow? He said, what are the 100 outfits that you brought with my time, with the money that you made? I'm going back to my notes. I'm going back. You need your Garden of Gethsemane no matter who you take with you. Make sure you stay there long enough to get what you need. Because when you come back and check on them, they might be sick. They might be doing something else. They might be on their cell phone. Somebody on their phone right now texting somebody. I don't know what this man talk about. I'll be glad when he finished. That's why your thumb's hurting. Lord Jesus. Just think about it. Jesus was headed towards Calvary to complete the mission through his death, burial, and resurrection to become our Lord and Savior. Suppose he had given up. Where would you and I be today? If there's no other God, if there's no other Savior, suppose he's like you and I. We said, look, Pastor, I couldn't do it because the committee you gave me, they fell asleep. Well, you know, God still expects you to do what he called you to do. He called you. You went and got them. Oh, my God. That's why you're not getting all your friends to work with you on the project, because your friends are going to take advantage of you. If they don't understand ministry, if they don't understand Christianity, if they don't understand spirituality, they think they can do whatever they want to do because they're your friend. You need some mature people around you that's going somewhere. Nobody around you talking and gossiping about everybody. You're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to move in the will of God for your life. You don't need to hear all that other stuff. Why do you think Jesus said, some of y'all stay here, and some of y'all stay here, and I'm going here? If everybody you know got to be in there, which is be your friend, ain't no friend. Everybody ain't got to know everything about you. If anyone knows you spiritually, you say, well, watch me when I come back. By my glow, you'll know. Oh, God, Lord, have me. Spend some time in prayer. Jesus was about to give up, but he gained the strength. He went forth. Look at your life. You may be at a critical moment right now. But where is your special place that you go so that you don't give up, but instead you gain strength to go forward? I didn't say who's your special prayer partner. I wish I had a witness in here. Nothing wrong with that. I didn't say where your special church was. Where's your special place? Where you and God commune and fellowship. As a matter of fact, it's so special that when you start approaching it, something takes you over. It's so special that you just walk in there and you don't really have to say nothing. God just said, oh yeah, that's where you meet. It's your special meeting place. And no matter who you bring with you, they can't stop you from talking with your daddy. They can't interfere with what God is telling you. And when God tells you what to do, you don't go check with them. What did Jesus do? After he got what he needed from God, he said, get on up, boys. Rise up. They coming to get me. He said, hey, God told me so and so. You think I ought to do it? So
Somebody need to hear what thus saith the Lord without checking with everybody else all the time. We got confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. You run the airline crazy. Keep on confirming yourself. I have my ticket. My confirmation number is, I'll call you tomorrow to check it again. I'm going to call you Wednesday too to check it again. By the time you get to the airport, the FBI going to be there because they know something wrong with you. There's a voice of God that tells you, I said it, that settles it, don't check with nobody else, move, walk on. Where's your special place? Where's your God that gets sitting? Just like Jesus, you can't enjoy the victory of the resurrection until you find enough strength to get to your Good Friday. Wow. What happened, Pastor? Well, this is what happened. In the Garden of Eden, Adam lost it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus retrieved it. And in Golgotha, he purchased it. Come on, GGG. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lost it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, and then on Golgotha, somebody here today is going through your Good Friday. But you about ready to get to your Resurrection Sunday. But you can't skip Good Friday. You got to go through what you got to go through. They got to talk about, spit on you, pierce you, then bury you, and leave you for dead. But that's all right. That's all right. They done rolled you up and put the stone up in there. And they sent the email out. It's party time. Because he or she is dead. You can't, no. No, I'm sorry. All these people that want shortcuts is not in Christianity. You can't, no, there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut to Christianity. No. You got to go through what you need to go through. No. Ain't no get back cards. It's not like Monopoly. This thing is real. And even though you might not feel it, you might not like what you're going through, God's going to give you the strength to get through it. Yeah. I'm just glad in the body of Christ that everybody's not going through the Good Friday all at the same time. Because there's some folks that already went to Good Friday. They got their Resurrection Sunday. And when they see you walk in, going to your Good Friday, this side say Good Friday, and this side say, hold on. Because Resurrection Sunday. And then the next 2 months, they go to their Good Friday, this side say, hold on. Because Resurrection's coming. Adam and Eve lost it in the Garden of Eden. Jesus picked it up in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took it all the way to Golgotha. And they buried him. They left him for dead. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They left him for dead. They left him for dead. Yeah. But on the third day, when they leave you for dead, they... He gone. But on the third day, they thought they had him. The party went all night Friday. They partied all day Saturday. They partied all Saturday night. But on their way home, the earth began to quake. And the stone was rolled away. But when they looked in, he wasn't there. He had already got up. He got it with all power in his hand. He said, y'all forgot? I went to my special place. My special place gave me special instruction. And my special instruction gave me special power. Oh yeah, I let y'all put me in the grave. But I got some special instruction in the Garden of Gethsemane. God told me some folk coming to get me. Let them take you. Let them put you on trial. Let them bury you. But I had some special instructions. Yeah. said, don't worry about it. I got you. Remember when you and I talked about in glory? Before I sent you down? That's because they changed their mind. I ain't changed my mind. I got some special instruction. That early Sunday morning, that I would rise up with all power in my hand. Where is your special place? Let us all stand. You need that special place, but guess what? As I open the doors of God's house, your special place starts at Calvary's cross. My God. See, we don't work it in reverse. Jesus got to Garden of Gethsemane and he went to Golgotha. But because he raised up on Golgotha, before you can get Golgotha, before you can get your Garden of Gethsemane, you need your Golgotha. Because he opened the doors of God's house. Anyone who wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Anyone. Why would I say anyone? Because John 3:16 says, whosoever. What does whosoever mean? Anybody, no matter what you did, when you did it, how you did it. Who know you did it?